Welcome to this BizWise podcast on the Cisco Interaction Network. I'm Valerie St. John, host of BizWise TV for retail. The retail pie is getting larger, only not as fast as the number of retailers hoping to take a bite. According to census figures, retail is the nation's second largest industry, supporting enough establishments to provide more than 15 million jobs. It's a buyer's market, and the consumer is now demanding more than just an acceptable selection of merchandise at a reasonable price. So what motivates shoppers? What draws them to one store over another? What compels them to make a purchase they don't need and never even knew they wanted before spotting it on a store shelf? Our first guest has conducted extensive research on consumer behavior in the retail environment and stresses that there is a science to success. Author of Shopping, Why We Love It and How Retailers Can Create the Ultimate Customer Experience, and advocate of what she calls shops that pop, Pamela Danziger. Pamela, welcome.
It's nice to be with you today.
So let's get started. What generally compels a consumer to make a purchase?
Well, that is the endless question that we all have to understand. And I've developed and discovered a theory that I call the quantum theory of shopping, which explains people's propensity to buy as the sum of need plus product features plus affordability, and the sum of that is multiplied by emotion squared. And for those who know math, know that the emotion squared is the dominant factor in the equation. People don't buy things necessarily because of product features. They don't buy things necessarily because it's cheap. They often will shop because of need, but that isn't the real motivation, because when we shop, we want that emotional thrill. And that's what we get when we shop for fun, is the emotion.
So is that what causes us to make the kinds of buys we don't actually need and didn't even know we wanted before we got to the store?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it is all about the emotion, and retailers can manipulate that emotional factor in terms of the way that they organize the shopping experience. So that's kind of the key. It's all about playing to consumers' emotions.
You talk about shops that pop. I just love saying that. What do you mean by that?
A shop that pops offers high levels of customer involvement and interaction, and that often surrounds a community. It evokes shopper curiosity. It has a contagious, electric quality that comes from within, not something that you pump in like through music and moody lighting. It has a convergence between atmosphere, store design, and merchandise. It has a values-driven concept, and that's what transforms an ordinary store that sells fashion, for example, into a store that helps the customer discover their inner diva. It offers a price-value model that favors the shopper. The emphasis there is on adding more value, not necessarily making it cheaper or discounting. And it's accessible, non-exclusive, and free from pretensions, which is one reason why you won't find a lot of luxury retailers in my book, because so many of them get caught up with being exclusive and pretentious.
How important, Pamela, are the salespeople in this equation?
Oh, they're essential, because since retailing is a people business, the people that you have working in your store are essential to relating and having that people interaction in the store. So what you want to do is to provide your retail salespeople, who are so important to that interaction, with a workable wage and reward them for the things that are important, which is really how they handle and how they interact and how they relate to the customer.
You talk about the importance of developing an authentic concept with long-lasting value. What are some of the most important things to keep in mind when we're creating such shops?
Well, in essence, the fundamental essence of the concept of shops that pop is that they put the customer first. And it's not about how we organize the store to help service our part of the business. It's really about putting that customer first.
You also talked about making the store electric and contagious. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
The best example I know of to to show an electric quality store is the Apple Store. You have the customers checking their emails on one side. You have the Genius Bar in the back where there's a lot of interaction and people talking and arguing different points of view. It's just a tremendous popping environment, and it's not because it's pumped in. It's because it's growing organically through the interaction of the customers in this special, unique environment and involving those people in the Apple experience.
Pamela, talk for us a little bit about the price-value model, which favors shoppers. How does it work?
Affordability, a key factor in the quantum equation, is that we can stretch our budgets, but we won't pay a penny more than what we perceive the value of the item is worth.
Pamela, you talk about something called place principles in your book. What are they, and how can retailers apply them?
When we talk about place, where your store is located, one thing I think that happens to small specialty retailers is you stay too long in one place. So what I recommend to shops, to retailers, to measure the effectiveness is once a month, do a head count, the number of people that walk by your store, maybe a Saturday morning from 10 to 11, just how many people go by your store. And that can very quickly, in 6 months, can tell you whether the patterns of shopping are changing in your community and you want to respond to it.
So what would you suggest small and medium-sized retailers do to compete more effectively in today's marketplace?
If you're going to be carrying the same product as other people in your local community, is you can merchandise it differently. You can display it differently. You can highlight it differently so that your merchandise is unique, even if you're carrying the exact same brands that other people are carrying. The second thing is that they think I can compete on price. And that, again, is a huge fallacy. You want to make sure that the products that are in your store have an inherent value that aligns with what the customers want, and you deliver that value to them at a reasonable price.
Terrific insight. Pamela Danziger, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's today's BizWise podcast on the Cisco Interaction Network. For more BizWise episodes, including full-length video broadcasts on a variety of business topics, go to www.cisco.com/go/interact. I'm Valerie St. John. Thanks for joining us.